What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. You can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you.
Shout out to our friends over at Captain Beard Co. Guys, if you are looking for beard care products, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, give Captain Beard Co. a try. They have this unbelievable beard butter, balm, oils, and then it smells amazing. Ladies, if you're looking for something for your men as a gift to help with their grooming, check them out. Also, if you guys are looking to just set the mood one night, candles, unbelievably smelling candles made with all natural ingredients here locally to St. Louis. Give them a shot. Also, while you're there, use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchase.
Hey there, guys. Really appreciate you checking out the Zach and Pat Show. If you can obviously tell, we are a newer podcast, but one way we're really trying to grow the show is trying to get up the amount of subscribers we have. So, you know, if you're watching the show and you're getting something out of it, we'd really appreciate it if you could click that subscribe button. That would help us out a ton. Please click that button. And now back to the show. To introduce our guest today, he's a stand-up comedian, a real estate investor, the great and powerful Enzo Nitti.
Thank you for having me.
And welcome to the show, man.
Yeah.
Glad we could get you on.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
We meet earlier this week, and here we are.
I know. Things are moving.
Yeah, I know. Corey's on a mission, man.
When I came into that meeting, I was very surprised. I thought it was just going to be me and him chatting. Yeah. And then I see like a whole team, and then I see you guys, and I'm like, well, this is something. This is something real.
That was all the people. You got Monica Adams out there that's getting her stuff set up. Yeah. You got Cam Jansen and Reed Lowe. They have their things that they're doing. So I don't know if we'll ever see them in the meetings, but
No, I'm really pumped. Whatever Corey's got cooking in his brain, he's putting on paper and it's coming to life. And that's really cool to see. Yeah. That's really cool to be like, hey, I have an idea. I'm going to execute it and it's going to happen. And it's like flourishing. And it's really awesome.
Yeah, I want to kind of talk about your show. So you just recently kind of started a podcast somewhat recently, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sitting Down with Stand-Ups.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. We're just going to be, highlighting local comics in the St. Louis area, talking about comedy, talking about their journey, and kind of the behind the scenes about comedy and just having a good time, really. It's a lot of people have glorified comedy because it's so big right now.
Dude, it's bigger than it's ever been.
Yeah,
everyone, awesome. And it's gonna
keep growing.
Yeah. No, it's gonna pop. I mean, just because it's like so big, it's like uncomfortably big. Like it's everywhere. And when I say pop, it doesn't mean it's gonna go away. It's just gonna be like it's gonna get normal again.
Yeah,
because comedy wasn't always like this. But I would like to in the interviews that I talk with the comedians, kind of just give a realistic touch of what it's like to be a stand-up comic that's not on Netflix, that's not touring or you know, just the realistic
early stages
of comedy, because it is glorified, but it really is not glorious, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Because we're out every night doing comedy, you know, 2-3 times a night, at bars with maybe a couple of people. Sometimes we have good shows and we just do it just to try out our bits, just so we can get the opportunity to get a paid gig and then see if those jokes work there. So talking about all the comics and all of what we do behind the scenes, I think it's really good conversation, especially with the comics that I'm bringing in. It's just very, very entertaining.
Yeah, a very unique perspective on that. And I liked how we were talking the other day about you getting on stage with the meta glasses.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
That would be cool to see like that bird's eye view of what it's like being on stage, mm-hmm. getting that real behind the scenes look at what you guys are seeing up there.
Yeah. I want to do that.
Shooter style, you know?
Yeah, very much so. Because a lot of people, anytime I tell somebody I do comedy, they're always like, I could never do that. That's so brave. And it's like, it's not. It's actually like psychotic to like want to go out every night to seek approval of complete strangers. It's kind of nuts. But I always thought it would be a really cool idea to be like, man, I wish somebody could just try comedy once, you know, just to see what it's like. Cause it's not that crazy.
I did an open mic once. It didn't go so well.
No?
Yeah.
But you did, you did it, though. Yeah. And that's the fun. And some people will never try that. So I thought, why don't we just do the meta glasses?
Yeah.
Give people
see what it looks like.
Yeah. A POV of what it looks like to do well. Or maybe what it looks like to not do well. Yeah. I had Sam and Michael. Sam and Michael, right?
Yeah.
They come out.
Producers.
Yeah. The producers of the show came out to the Funny Bone, and there was a really packed house. There was like, I don't know, 90 people. It wasn't sold, but for an open mic, that's like pretty, really, really good.
Awesome. This and just I'm the other
like,
day, right?
Yeah, just the other day. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to bring out some good stuff, maybe some new stuff, crush it because it's going to be on camera. And it was just like real quiet. Mm. And then it was just like, yeah, man, it's not always going to be, you know, sunshines and butterflies. Sometimes it's just quiet. And then you just got to, all right, what are you going to do with that set? You got to listen to it and then adjust
sure
it.
Painful.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, brother.
Yeah.
Listening to yourself in complete silence is just hearing yourself is the worst.
Sure.
And hearing yourself like, quote unquote, fail in front of an audience is like, but then you just
gotta reliving it.
Reliving it. And you just got to dissect it and be like, all right, why did this go wrong? And sometimes it's just
changing
not your night.
A little bit, or
changing your timing. It might be the audience.
Different crowd. Yeah.
They're just there to see their friend. They've never really been to an open mic. They're not like, quote unquote, comedy fans. But sometimes it just, sometimes you just suck, you know? And sometimes that's okay. It's like, sometimes you just have bad nights. And if you don't, if you're not, if you're, energy is not aligned with where you need it to be to perform well, the audience can feel that. And then it's just like, yeah, they're not into you because you're not into it. So it's not going to work out. You really have to be in the zone. And it's hard to do that because when you do it so often, it's hard to not like just be repetitive with it. But like if you really take it seriously and take it like every set is like an opportunity to grow, you can make it far in comedy. You really can. Just like anything, right?
Sure. I mean, just like anything else you want to get good at. It
takes
reps and practice.
Mm-hmm. You
know, trying it over and over and over again.
Attentive reps.
Yeah.
Yeah, attentive reps. Because you can swing at a golf ball 1,000 times a day, but if you're not swinging it right, it ain't going to work. It
doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Just practicing bad habits.
Exactly.
So why do you think comedy's so big right now?
Comedy got big, I think. Well, I think comedy got big because there were so many restrictions of what people can say. And comedians kind of like pushed that barrier. Dave Chappelle did that a lot.
Sure.
Whether, you know, the content that he put out was appealing to you or appealing at all, or some people might not find it funny. Some people find it hilarious. It's like he pushed the envelope. And then people are like, well, you're not supposed to say that. You can't say that. I want to listen. You know what I mean? Like, you want to listen to things that are taboo. That's why when comedians, most of the time, especially early on comedians, you talk a lot about sexual content because it's taboo, right? You're not supposed to talk about it. And so I think when things got a lot more censored, comedians started rising to the top because they were talking about things that you're not supposed to. And that caught a lot of attention. And then that with the combination of podcasting,
I feel like comedians and podcasting go together like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. You know? Cause you just want to be part of the hang.
Yeah.
Like you see these guys, they're in the middle of the stage. They're like so cool. And they're like talking this, that, and the other. And like, man, I wish I could be friends with them. Well, now you can just listen to them every week.
And
you could
like
be friends
fly
with
on
them
on the wall in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And so I think those combinations of those two, and I don't want to say it's too saturated because I don't think it is. I just think it's so big right now. Like, I mean, freaking Shane Gillis just broke another record, I think, for the Rocket Mortgage Stadium.
Yeah.
Really?
17,000 people in attendance for a comedy show.
Oh.
Nuts. I saw him when he was in town.
Yeah, so I know. Good. He's
a monster.
He's one of my favorites.
I literally just listened to the 5-hour Protect Our Parks.
Oh, I haven't got to that yet. I love those.
Dude,
I love
my favorite. I love them.
And the Regs.
The
you ever listen to the Regs?
Uh-uh.
Oh man, the Regs. The Regs is Bobby Kelly, Dan Soder, Joe Liss, and Louis J. Gomez.
Oh, I love all those guys.
They are very funny. They have their own podcast. They release like every 2 weeks or once a month. They're still debating on it.
Okay.
And very, very funny stuff.
Just I love the hang. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like what we wanted to kind of create with this show. I mean, know, me and Pat, when we were talking about starting the show, it was like, okay, we're both in real estate. We want to do a real estate podcast. I'm like, dude,
nobody it's going
to
be
yeah. like, dude, nobody wants to listen to that. I mean, I'm in real estate and that's what I do all day, every day. And like, yeah, there's a couple of real estate podcasts I'll listen to occasionally, but it's not like my regular listen to. And I'm never like pumped to listen to it because it's always like, I feel like I'm doing homework or something, you know?
Yeah.
And whereas all the podcasts I listen to are just like hangs and like, you know, it's either ones that you're either learning something or you're just being
absolutely, you know? And, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that's kind of what we wanted to do here and just kind of make our guests very diverse and like people that are doing cool shit,
yeah.
you know, entrepreneurs mostly and business owners, but like people that just are doing extravagant or crazy extravagant things. Like we've had a guy on that hiked the entire Appalachian Trail. We had a guy on that literally rollerbladed across America from Venice Beach to Times Square.
That's nuts.
Did that in like 40 something days. Crazy. They made a documentary. It's like hasn't come out yet, but they're like trying to get it put on whatever platform, I think. And, cool. Like, so I mean, but ranges from people like that to stand up comedians to,
yeah.
you know, people that own restaurants to whatever. That's kind of what
this. Yeah.
Unique people,
risk takers, yeah. you know, people that are just kind of taking a risk on themselves. I think that's really cool. And I mean, real estate investing is a big risk too.
For sure.
You don't want to like, you know, completely separate that from who you truly are, because that's like your main source of income. That's probably like what you spend a lot of the most time with. But you're right. There's already Brett Daniels. There's already Jamil. You know, they're always like,
yeah.
There's so many real estate podcasts out there that it's just like, if you can combine a little bit of everything, what you guys like, I think.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, it's not like you don't talk about real estate. Like, there's every once in a while we'll do an episode where it's just the two of us and we would mix it in, you know, once every.
Sure.
Yeah. yeah.
But for the most part, it's now, especially now that we're switching up game plan. We're doing 4 guests a month, 4 episodes of just him and I. Now we're doing 6 guests and 2 episodes. But like the episodes that we're doing, we've got our book of the month that we do a book, read a book. But,
oh, nice.
Which is fun. And
forces us to read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. It forces us. It's a good habit.
Are you reading or are you listening?
Both.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it just depends. Like, no,
it doesn't matter though.
Right.
Yeah, if I get
good information
toward the end of the month, I'm a little behind. I'll buy the audiobook.
Yeah.
I think reading is less productive than listening.
Well, because you can with listening you can do shit.
You can do so much.
Oh yeah.
Like people always like, you should read it. You're not. Are you reading or are you listening?
Yeah.
Dude, it's the same shit.
You're still consuming the information.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you. Yeah. You can.
Well, and that's the thing. Some people can't comprehend when they're sitting down reading the book. Other people can comprehend better when they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, I like the reading aspect of it. I feel like I comprehend it better because, like you said, you can be productive while listening to things, and I kind of just kind of like drowns out in the background. And so for me, I would rather sit down and take the time to like, hey, I'm gonna go read for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get more out of that than I'm gonna. Listen.
No, there is something about like. You exercising your brain to sit down and read. I like listening to audiobooks when I'm driving because I used to listen to podcasts a lot and a lot of comedy podcasts. And it was great, but it was just like, man, like I can take so much better time when I'm driving if I'm listening to audiobooks. So now I'm like, maybe once in a while I listen to a podcast, comedy podcast, but it's mostly just like audiobooks. I'm listening to this book right now by Matthew Dix called Storyworthy. And that this is like the second time I've listened to it, and it's just how to tell a good story. And then he has a second one that haven't got to yet, that it's how to allow stories to help your business, because that's pretty much how you stand out. Because everybody can share the same information, but if you can sell it in the sense of a story, I think it's a lot more memorable and a lot more impactful to get your point across, as opposed to just, you know, a slideshow or just telling the
story sell, man.
Yeah, story sell.
What's one of the biggest points you picked up from that first book so far?
This one is mostly about how to tell a good story. So there's a lot of intricacies on how to tell a good story. My biggest takeaway, and I've been doing this for about a month now consistently, is at the end of the day, write down 3 things that happened to you that day. And it has been so impactful not only because I am able to recall little things that happened that day that I will inevitably forget tomorrow. And if I look back to it, I'm like, man, that was a nice little moment that I had with my fiance. And I would have never remembered that if I didn't write that down. So it really allows me to remember the little things. It allows me to slow down time because now I can have more of a grasp of time because I'm able to recall these little moments. And
what was it? Did you smoke her acid up down?
No, dude. Yeah. We play Killer Queen, and she's actually pretty nasty at Killer Queen.
Okay.
The third one is writing down little things that have happened in my day has been like it has been able to unlock so many stories that have happened in my life because it's like I'm exercising the part of my brain of recalling. I'm recalling just the short things that happened that day, but now I'm like thinking of stories that have happened to me like when I was 14. I'm like, bro, I haven't thought about that in years. And now I'm like, how did that come up? And that has been really impactful for me just to be able to recall little things throughout the day. It's kind of changed my perspective of time, changed my perspective of like what I should be able to appreciate throughout the day, whether it's little or big. And yeah, it's been a game changer.
Awesome. Well, and I'm sure that probably helps with your writing too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, coming up with bits and stuff.
Yeah, because the funniest bits literally happen when you're like, it's so small. Like the funniest bits are so small and you just like dissect it and
just
deep.
A little idea that you just kind of.
Or
unfold.
Something small that happened. Like, okay, I was talking to my fiance. She called me an idiot, but. My gosh, I was talking to my fiance. I have a scar on my hand here. And she was like, whatever happened to you there? And I was like, I told her, well, that's a punctuation that happened when I climbed a fence in Colombia. And she said, a what? Like, a punctuation. It's like, that's not it. It's like,
the
yeah.
Right word.
And she's like, punctuation, that's the end of a sentence. And I'm like, yeah, that's the end of the story. There's nothing else. I got punctuation that I'm doing here. And she was like, no, it's punctured, not punctuation. And yeah. Then she said, "You." She was messing with me, but she was like, you idiot. And I'm like, you know what? You calling me an idiot hurt a lot more than the punctuation that happened to me here. And like, that was such a real moment because sure. I was dead on, like, honest. Like, yeah, it's the punctuation. And it's just like those moments are like small and somebody might just like
almost
overlook
where you can
it.
Kind of poke fun at yourselves.
Yeah. But that like, that's not like a big, you know, huge story. And then I can talk about bits about how I'm not a smart guy. And then I can go into a rabbit hole of self-deprecation. Now I'm on the train of saying the wrong words. and then just go into a rabbit hole of that. And then now I'm looking for these things. So yeah. It does help a lot. With comedy.
I really like the idea of writing them down. Because yeah. I have a post-it note on my mirror in my bathroom. Like, it just says, what went well today? So, like, every night when I'm brushing my teeth, it reminds me, like, sit there while I'm brushing my teeth. I just sit there and think about, all right, what went well today? You know, but I think that's just what you're doing is just taking it a step further mm-hmm. and just trying to, like, and actually, like, writing down three things.
Yeah.
You can sit there and think about it, but are you going to remember that?
Right. I'm not going to remember it. I'm just
looking
thinking
back
about it,
on
it right now. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, that was a good phone call I had. I really liked the way I handled that. You know, mm-hmm. the podcast we recorded today, I thought we went really well. You know, whatever. I'm just sitting there thinking about while for the, you know, minute I'm sitting there brushing my teeth, doing what you're doing better.
Yeah. And what I do is I put a reminder on my phone to come up at the time that I'm probably going to go to bed. It's more or less around like 9:30. It's at 9:30. And usually I'm either out. Or I'm probably going to bed by like 10 o'clock. And instead of doom scrolling, I'm like, that notification pops in and is like, okay, what happened today? And yeah, it's really nice.
You just like write that in a journal or do you do it yourself?
On my notes, my notes app. And yeah.
Is that how you do all your writing?
I do all of my writing on my WhatsApp. I write to myself. So just in case if I ever lose my phone, I know notes are backed up, but like if I send myself text messages, WhatsApp is as long as I have WhatsApp, because with WhatsApp, I can do it on my phone. And I also have the WhatsApp app on my computer so I can type stuff out. So then, when I have an idea for my WhatsApp, then I'll bring it to my Google Docs and I have all my jokes on a Google Docs, and then I'll write stuff out on my Google Docs. And then if I have sets, I go to my notes, and that's where I have the sets that I'm working out.
Oh my breath.
Yeah. So then I have a process of like from WhatsApp. If it's a good idea, then I write it to Google Docs. And then if it makes it to a set, then I put it on my notes. Yeah. So then it's
yeah, like a chain.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so interesting because I've listened to a ton of comedy podcasts. It just seems like everybody does it differently.
Yeah. Everybody does it differently. Like when I write jokes, I have to write every word down exactly how I'm supposed to say it. And then I can weave even in and out of those bits. But some guys, it's like
bullet points or whatever.
It's just like, you know, cow. And yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm going to talk about my bit about the cow. And yeah. I'm like, you know, that's good. That's awesome. And everybody's different. There's no right way or wrong way. It's just, it's whatever works for you. I like to see it as just like, okay, this is the setup. This is the punchline. This is where people are supposed to laugh. Now I have this bit. Okay. Now I can weave in and out of, I can add stuff to it. I can go into this direction. I can go this angle, this, that, and the other. Once I have a structure of it, until I have that, I can just go up there and riff, but it's a different muscle. It's like you got a riffing muscle, you have a writing muscle. It's a completely different face of comedy that you do. And some people create material in one way, and other people another way. Yeah.
So, how long have you been doing?
I've been doing stand up 3 years last October. Yeah.
What kind of gave you the courage to get up on stage or something to do, or like what was the initial
crazy real estate got me into comedy.
Really?
Which is nuts.
Okay.
Because my fiance and I, we started a wholesaling company back in 2019, and we were doing it remotely. And we were doing it out of St. Louis. Like, we were working in St. Louis. We had a boots on the ground guy that we were splitting everything 50-50. So we'd get the leads. And
so you're
then,
not from here?
No, I'm not from here. Okay. I'm from Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we were doing that remotely. And then we're like, you know what? If we're going to keep doing this, we should probably move here. So then we moved here. We found a house that we were going to wholesale in Kirkwood. And then we ended up keeping it. That was the first property we ever bought back in 2020. So we had like great interest rate.
Yeah.
It was great price. It was a steal before everything got crazy. And then, you know, we moved to St. Louis and then we just started keep doing wholesaling. And after doing wholesaling for a while, it did wonders for us. We were able to pay off all our debt. We were working for ourselves. We were working from home. And then I got to a point that I didn't have a community here. I've always loved stand-up. I've put myself in a position financially and career-wise that I have a lot of time. I'm not having to worry about getting a job. Then I took a comedy class. And then I took a comedy class at Helium that they do like for beginners. Willie Lynch Jr., he's a great comic that he was our teacher for the comedy class. And we just did an 8-week course. And then after that, we had like a graduation and there was like 90 people in the audience, which was like
big audience.
It was a big audience. Mic. Yeah. It was crazy. And after that night, I'm like, all right, this is what I have to do. Like, that was the craziest feeling in the world. I love being funny. I love making people laugh. And I have so many great stories to tell. It's just up to me to go on stage and tell them. So it's, yeah. So if it wasn't for real estate, I probably would have never gotten into stand-up because I would have not had the time freedom and financial freedom to take the course, to take the time to do it. Especially if I had like, you know, my fiance and I, we spent a lot of time together and I enjoy the time I spent with her. If I had to go to a 9-to-5 and then go do comedy, I would never be home. I probably wouldn't have a relationship. So working from home, working for myself has really allowed me to go hard in comedy, and I wouldn't want to do it unless I'm like going at it. So real estate has been a blessing for me, especially with comedy, which is weird. But
were you like always a big stunt?
Yeah.
What's,
I I became a salmon fan when I got my appendix removed in sixth grade because growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. So we had like a TV that was still by a knob. Like we had to turn the knob. Yeah. And I had my appendix removed and I had to stay home and my mom had to go to work. So she's like, okay, what channel do you want it? Because you're not going to be able to get up from bed until I come back from your lunch, my lunch break. And I would like, just put it on Comedy Central. And then I would just watch stand-ups for hours.
The 30-minute.
Yeah, the 30-minute specials. The Comedy Central Presents. And then I would just watch stand-ups all the time. And yeah, that's how I fell in love with it. And then I started recording my own stand-ups with my video camera. And I would just like...
Like yourself?
Yeah. I would just like do other people's bits.
Yeah.
But my favorite comedians right now has to be Nate Bargatze.
He's great.
Yeah. Dan Soder is one of my favorite. Obviously, Shane Gillis. Joe List is like top dog. Sam Talent is really, really good.
Funny.
Yeah, he's very funny.
I never heard about him until he was on Rogan. That episode had me crying.
Yeah, he's
so funny.
He's very funny. But yeah, I've always wanted, like, I remember the first time I made somebody laugh, like, hard. And I've always loved enjoying making people laugh. I don't know. I think it's really cool, like, to be able to, like, control your emotions. I think that's kind of, like, my sick way of thinking of it. It's like, I'm going to make you laugh, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, sure. It's, like, it's kind of like a weird thing, but I think it's, like...
You hear a lot of them talk about it, like, it's just a high that you'll never experience anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And it's also, like, a very, like, subconsciously dark aspect to it, because... Why do we want to get up on stage every night? Like, where did we not get the attention in our life that we need to get it now? And it definitely happens with me. Like, I grew up with a single mom, and I have a bit about this, but I have a half brother that was born on the same day as me.
Wow.
Same year too, like same dad, different mom. So like my dad wasn't there in my life because he was there with the other woman. Like, we were born in the same hospital.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like, It was nuts. So that, I think that really has to stem from that.
Do you ever have a relationship?
Yeah, yeah. Up until like seven, until we moved to the United States, because I grew up in Venezuela and then I moved to the United States. But I mean, up till seven, I didn't know. I mean, up till probably longer than that, I didn't know any different. Like, my half brother was just my brother. I didn't know that it came from a different woman. And as I grew older, I started talking to my mom. I still have a relationship with my dad, but we talk like once a month. Maybe. And it's just like, hey, how are you? That's pretty much it. But like, now I have like a better relationship with my mom. We start talking about what happened. And it was like, bro, like, what?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. The chances of that happening are like,
right.
Like astronomical.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, same hospital.
Same,
like,
hospital.
I can only imagine, like, imagine like him just at the hospital, like, you know, where's the incubator when you see all those babies?
And that, he's one's like, mine. That one's mine.
Twins? No.
I'm sure that's a good bit. For
yeah. And it's just like, I can't even, especially as I'm thinking about having kids moving forward and having a relationship with my fiance, I cannot imagine what that was like
for him. Yeah.
Him, for my mom, for the other woman. Like, it is. Because my mom found out, because my dad used to be like a semi-pro tennis player.
Okay.
And my mom went to one of his tennis games and was like, she went with a friend. And she was like, hey, did you know Sylvia? That's the other woman. Did you know Sylvia's pregnant? I was like, really? With who? And the girl was like, with one of the tennis players. Like, which one? I don't know. But if I see him, I can recognize him. But I don't know his name. Then my dad comes out. And then it's like, that one. That's the guy that got Sylvia pregnant. And she told that to my mom while she was 8 months pregnant with my dad. And then that's how she found out. And then it's just, it was, yeah. Like, it is, I'm starting to write a story about it, just so I can make it into something, because it is kind of a crazy thing.
Taboo, and, like you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
very taboo.
It's very taboo. So I'm writing a story about it, see if I can, I don't know, sell the rights to it so somebody can make a movie or a book or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just another way to put out my creativity and put out my life, because just to kind of be at peace with stuff like that, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
And you mentioned being from Venezuela, and living there until you were 7. Was Venezuela the were you there when it was booming Venezuela, or yeah, were you there as like the downturn?
No, it was still Venezuela? It was still very, very good. I don't remember it because I was 7. We moved here in the year 2000, that's when Chavez got into office, and then that's when things started going downhill.
Yeah, she got out of there before
that. Yeah, and we didn't know. My mom, like my aunt married my uncle, who became my uncle, and then they moved to the States, and my mom wanted to get away from my dad for a couple months. And she's like, can I just go with you guys for a couple months, bring the kids? And then she just never went back. And then that's why we ended up here. So I wasn't supposed to move here, but like my mom was just like at a better place mentally away from my dad. And so she just stayed here. So it kind of just worked out. So yeah, no, Venezuela used to be booming. Now it's sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very fortunate. I want to get to a point in my life that I get enough financial success that I can go back and
give back. You haven't been back since you were 7?
I've been back twice since I was 7. I went back when I was 16 and 18 because I forgot Spanish. My mom was pissed. So she made me go there for like 3 months, and then it helped. I mean, I never forgot it again.
Still speak Spanish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does your dad still live there? Or is he
dad still lives there. And I have a couple family members that still live there, but most of them, everybody moved either to the States or to Europe or Germany. And
well, what's that like being a 7-year-old coming to the States away from what's familiar? Like, remember any of that?
It was different. Especially not knowing a lick of English. I remember like growing up, I used to get bullied a lot because I was overweight and I didn't speak English. And it was just kind of like, you know, kids just being kids, like you're different. I'm going to, you know, make pick on you. Yeah. And it's just, and that's why, like, maybe that's another reason why I use comedy to diffuse situations, because, you know, growing up, like, I was always the butt of the joke. And now I'm just kind of like making the joke. So yeah, it's like diffusing the situation in that way. And it was tough for a while, but then I started getting into sports. And I was bad at sports for a while, but then I got really good into sports because I enjoyed football. I enjoyed wrestling. And then things started, like I started getting my confidence because I was like, okay, good at something. And then once I started getting that confidence, I still had that insecurities. I would mask my insecurities through sports. And, but then everything after high school, I went to college for like a second, and then I went
to Florida.
Yeah, I went to Santa Fe College in Gainesville. It was like the sister school to University of Florida. And then after that, I went to college for, I took a gap year, and I'm still on that gap year. So it's like,
how old are you?
I'm 32. Okay. Yeah, 32. And you know what's crazy? I could have gone to any university in the country with a full ride scholarship, and I didn't, because I was just like banking on getting a football scholarship. And there's another story to go into that. But when I was when I was in high school, my football coach was the counselor. So he would let me choose which classes I wanted to be at. And I chose honors classes with very easy teachers. So I had a 3.8 GPA. Very good. I took my ACT, and I was good at getting grades. I was not a good student. I don't know if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I noticed that there was a kid that was a row up and to the side that was really hiding his answers from everyone else. And he was like letting it slide here. Then I noticed we had like the same first 5 answers. And I was like, I think this guy has the same test as me. I'm going to fail if I don't copy. I'm going to copy this guy's test. I ended up getting a 33.
Holy shit.
On my ACT.
What the fuck?
And I was bored as hell. I was just copying this guy's answer. So I had a 3.8 GPA. I had a 33 on my ACT. Yeah. And I ended up going to a community college in Santa Fe College in Gainesville, Florida. Because I was like, I'll get a scholarship. And I got some interest, but I didn't get a scholarship because I didn't send my tapes out. this was still a time that you had to burn CDs, sure, send my tapes out. I put my tape on YouTube and I just waited. I was like, oh, I'll get a scholarship. And then I was like,
what position do you play?
I played linebacker and then D line. Okay. D line senior year because my linebacker got in a car accident. So we had to move stuff around. But I still could have gotten a D1 AA scholarship as a D line. I was like 215. And then I just ended up kind of letting that go to waste. And I think about that so much. And it's so interesting how often I think about it, because it's like, it takes so much mental space when I think about things that could have happened instead of things that are going to happen, that it's a good reminder to be like, you have to not think of opportunities that pass, because then you are going to let opportunities pass in the future. So you have to think about things that could happen as opposed to things that could have or should have happened. And so it's a good reminder for me. It's like, I got to let those stuff go. So, but yeah, it was crazy. I'm surprised that. And then I had to do like remedial classes in Santa Fe College. I was just like, I'm out of here. I don't want to do this. But then, yeah, I started getting a job, and then pandemic hit, and then I started getting into real estate.
Yeah. So how did you kind of get into real estate? How did that?
My fiance met somebody that was doing wholesaling.
For people out there that don't know what wholesaling, I'm familiar, but like for the people out there that don't know wholesaling.
Wholesaling is selling the rights to a contract. So if I got a property under contract from a seller, let's say you're the seller and you want $50,000 for the house. I get a property under contract for $50,000. And then I sell my rights to this contract to an investor, which is you. You're the investor. And let's say I sell it to you for $60,000. So at closing, what happens is the seller gets $50,000. You get the property, you purchase it for $60,000, and I get the difference, which is $10,000. So that's wholesaling. Yeah. And we got into that. And it was great. It was great money. It's still good money. Right now, we're not as active on wholesaling. We've brought some rentals, and now we're really focused on medium-term rentals. That's what I do as well. You do? Nice. Yeah, so we have 6 medium-term rentals, and we loved wholesaling. We loved the money. It was great money. But we kind of got burned out to it. We don't like cold calling anymore.
So is that how you source your leads, cold calling?
Source it, cold calling. We never did anything else but cold calling what and texting.
Preferred software?
ReSimply. ReSimply was our CRM for just to manage our leads. For cold calling, we go batch dialer, you know, and we didn't. Man, if I knew how lucky we had it back in 2021. When nobody was calling, bro.
Everybody's doing. I get like,
dude, it's nuts. And like, I wish I would have not been so money hungry and been like, why don't we just keep some of these? Because we ended up getting 6 rental properties in 1.5 years because they're like, no, we're buying. Like, we have too much money in the bank. Like, we need to buy. We need to diversify. We need to get some rentals. And we bought 6 properties in 1.5 years. And then, but like, up until that point, we probably did 200 transactions and like we didn't buy any of them. And I didn't know any better. Sure. And the guy that we were working with ended up.
You can make a fucking killing wholesaling. It's quick, easy money. Whereas the rentals, it's a long game.
It's a long game. And the guy that I was working with, he ended up screwing us over, but he was like, no, just keep wholesaling. Just keep, because he was happy.
Sure.
He was getting 50% and he was just closing and dispoing, and we were getting the leads and we were doing mostly the hardest part. Once you have a good lead, you know, it's kind of like
now he'd be the guy that boots on the ground, shows up at the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 So we just didn't know any better. But then once we bought our first one, we're like, okay. And now we have 6 of them, and it gives us a good base of income. Yeah. And it's nice. And it's, you know, medium term. It's relatively easy.
I love it. Yeah. I've only got 2. Look, I'm always going to buy more.
Yeah.
Where are yours at?
We do St. Anne, Overland, U City, Dogtown, and Edmondson. That's okay. Where all of that. We have a long term rental in Kirkwood.
Do those ones in up north as well?
Yeah, they do well. They do well. We have because you got the airport there.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of Boeing guys coming in there that needs to come in for work and stuff like that. And we work with a lot of relocation companies.
Yes, I've gotten a couple. I get a lot of traveling nurses, a lot of be low. I got one. I got this one family been in my property. It'll be supposed to be originally 6
insurance.
Months. No.
Oh.
They were. She's from. It's a couple. Their daughter. They are. She's from here originally, and they came back to help because their mom got sick. Mom ended up passing away. They were living in Virginia. Like, man, we have really nothing tying us to Virginia. The cost of living in St. Louis is so much cheaper. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we should just stay here. And so they've just been like, well, let's try it out for 6 months. And then that turned into a year. And now they're looking to buy a house. And they're not, they're hang having out. A struggle. I was like, you guys stay as long as you want, yeah, you know?
I love that.
It's great.
When a medium-term tenant turns into a long-term.
Oh, ew. It's like, oh. Yes.
Yeah, I got one that's about a year and a half because their house burnt down.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in St. Ann.
Yeah.
And, $2,200 a month.
Yeah.
It's like nuts. Dollar, dude. Yeah. So we're just using real estate as a passive income, and we're shifting to do more travel stuff. Because my fiance, she runs a travel company, and we are trying to get that off the ground. We still are in real estate regarding the rentals, and we have our websites up. So sometimes we get some leads in there, and we'll work them for sure. But as far as real estate goes, right now, actively, we'll do medium term rental consultations, and just any leads that somebody like maybe needs some help with, and then we're like, oh yeah, we'll help you. We'll sell it, go from there, because we still have all our connections, and we always did good business with the people that we worked with. So it was just like, yeah, if something comes, we'll work it. But right now it's just mostly passive or consultation with the medium term stuff. So okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm always looking at my business partner trying to buy a couple here. I wanted to get a hand. We've got the two right now. I mean, I've got two midterms and I have one long term rental.
You know Keola? Keola? I'll connect you with him. He's the medium term king here.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's got 40 plus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He's a big dog and the nicest guy.
Okay.
Hawaiian dude. He's a nice guy. We get cigars and talk about real estate every once in a while. So I'll connect you guys.
Please do. Maybe get him on the show.
Oh, he would love that. He's okay. A good guy to talk to. Yeah.
Great. Well, comedy and real estate seem like kind of two different worlds. Any like similarities?
Yeah. Yeah. I see it. It's a grind. It's a grind for both of them. You're kind of like figuring stuff out on your own, you know. I've been doing a lot of stand-up comedy for real estate companies. So like Faster House allows me to do a show for them, and I have like a bunch of real estate bits, comedy bits. So that's like fun to do, and it's a good way to practice. But the correlation, I think, is just you are your own boss. You have to do your own thing. So it's kind of like you don't have to do it, but if you don't, you're not going to get better at it. And I think that's for any entrepreneurship. But other than that, they are pretty different because one makes money and one doesn't.
So far,
one does not make money at all. And it's tough. It's tough to like justify spending so much time on something that doesn't pay well right now, but like
you just do it for the love of it.
Right. I do.
I mean, that's I don't get paid to do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah,
I do that every day.
Yeah, you pay to do jiu-jitsu. Probably.
I do.
Yeah.
Well, now that I don't coach there anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. So
well, it's like this.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
We pay a lot of money to do this.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's another perfect example. Yeah, exactly. Didn't think of that one.
Yeah.
It's nuts. I know.
We enjoy it though.
Yeah, we have fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's great. It's real estate and comedy are both great. With my fiance doing this travel business, that's why another reason we got away from real estate, because she didn't want to do it anymore and it was a lot for me to do it all by myself. So now she does organized group trips and we are traveling 4 or 5 months out of the year and to different countries. And so we're doing that with some content creation. So yeah, it's good.
So do you have a day job or anything else? It's all the real estate stuff.
The real estate properties keep us afloat and allows us to take some risks.
That's
and
awesome.
Every once in a while, we'll do like 3 or 4 wholesale deals a year.
For cash.
You know, and it's like, for us, it's like, if we're not making a big cut, we're not doing it. And that's kind of like, it's worked out. Like last year, we did three wholesale deals, and there was like with that with our rental income. It's yeah. I mean, let's just keep doing whatever we want and pursue passions until we decide to have kids, and then we're like, all right,
settle down.
Yes. Yeah, easy cowboy. Right now. Yeah,
well, that's awesome. I mean, that's the dream, and it happened. Pretty great.
Yeah, it's great. And you think, since I don't have a day job, I don't work, but I feel like I work so much more that I don't have a day job. Like I'm up like at 7 a.m., I'm working out, and I get home and I'm like working on stuff that we want to accomplish until like 6:30, 7 p.m. And then I go out to do spots on comedy. And it's just like, I'm like so overwhelmed with the amount of stuff I want to do. But like, if I just stay focused on what I actually want, the universe will provide, and you just gotta stay focused on what you want, because you can get pulled in so many different ways, and it's very easy to have shiny object syndrome. But if you focus on what you want and you keep doing that, doors will open nonstop, like nonstop. It's 2025 so far has been very eye opening in the sense of like, man, like I've said it. And I'm doing it, and now things are happening. And it's just like, it might not be something, but like, it's proof that it's like, if I said it, I'm doing it, things are going to happen, and we'll see where it goes.
Well, it's awesome that you have the freedom to do that and mm-hmm. to actually pursue the things that you pursue. That's great.
Yeah.
That's everybody's goal in life. Here we are, and here you are, and Beyonce doing it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Kudos to you guys for that.
Yeah.
So speaking on the comedy side of things, where ultimate goals there, where do you want to take that? What is it that you see yourself doing with comedy?
I want this to be my day job. Okay. I want it to be what I want to do full time. I want to be on the road quite a bit, maybe, you know, 40 weeks out of the year. On top of that, that allows me to travel to see the country, make some money, tell some jokes, and then do stuff like this, do podcasts, talk to people. Just, I just want this to be my main source of income, and it doesn't have to be the biggest source of income. You know, I just want this to be my day job. I'm as silly as comedians are, they're not very business oriented. And I've been fortunate that I still have that business mindset. And I know that I need to diversify. I know that I need to have multiple sources of income to feel comfortable taking risks, because if I have my rentals, if I have Melanie bringing in my fiance group trip money, and we have this base, it's like it allows me to try different stuff. And so if I can just have comedy be my day job and one of my sources of income, that is the goal. I don't know where it's going to take me. I don't know how long I'm going to want to do this. Right now, I feel like I want to do it forever. But it's tough, you know, it's not easy. It's a very destructive lifestyle, being out every night at bars, very persuasive to drink, hang out with your friends, then you're waiting around a lot, people start smoking, and it's just like, it's very a destructive lifestyle. So if you don't take it as a business, it's very easy to get your feet swept under you. So it's, yeah, all in all, I just want this to be something I do forever. That's the goal. I just want to keep doing it. So,
how many nights a week are you out? Like you said, every night, or is it
5 to 6 nights a week? Yeah. So I'll do 2 mics Tuesday. There's 3 mics Wednesday. 2 mics Tuesday, 2 mics Monday, 3 mics Wednesday, 1 mic, maybe 2 mics on Thursday, 1 mic on Friday. And then if you get the weekend, you it's have shows. Spot. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, I have a show this tonight in Illinois. Ryan Ballard is having me feature there, which is going to be super fun. And then I have a show tomorrow as well in Illinois. So, yeah, like this week I'll probably do 9 sets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How large are you?
Usually 5 minutes, but like tonight it's going to be 25 minutes. So, which is super fun, because then it's like you can tell bits and then joke around, talk to audience members, and that's when it's really fun. But when you do open mics, it's 4 to 5 minutes. And
so you enjoy the crowd work type type stuff?
I enjoy the benefits of crowd work. I don't necessarily like it because I have a, you know, I have a ship that I'm driving and I want to get to it from point A to point B because I know what works. But then if something is like inevitable and I have to acknowledge it, if it gets a pop, then it's like the audience gets the feeling of, oh, we're all in this together. Like he's like, this is all riff. Like this is all, we're just having a good time. We're just hanging out. And that's a really, really powerful tool to have. Just being able to like make sure that the audience feels that they are part of the show, not just an audience member. That's like really, really powerful in a show. So.
Awesome. Yeah. So in your questionnaire, you kind of said you kind of grew up with like the rich, real, real rich dad, poor dad.
Yeah.
Kind of elaborate on that.
Yeah. My mom, you know, worked like a dog and she worked her entire life. And she used to be a college professor in biology in Venezuela. And then she came here and then she worked at like convenient, like grocery stores and then department stores just so we can live in the United States. And she just worked all the time, worked very hard and always instilled the hard work in me. But then my uncle, the one who married my aunt that brought us to the United States, he was retired by 35 and then just started investing in real estate, had over 400 doors back in South Florida and just sold them all like a year before I got into real estate, which sucks, but he probably wouldn't have sold me anything. He's that business minded, but it made me realize like you can work hard, but it doesn't mean you're going to get paid well. You know, you got to work smart. And he really showed me how to work smart. He, it's so crazy. He really showed me the value of a dollar. He would pay me like 10 bucks an hour to do like construction work in his properties. And he would just keep giving me 10 bucks an hour until I asked for a raise. And then it was like, well, I was waiting for you to ask, you know, yeah. I could have paid you way more a long time ago, but you never asked. And it's like, you have to see these opportunities. Like if you don't think you're being valued, like you have to do something about it. And that I always forget. I always remember that lesson because it's like, yeah, you have to speak up. You have to know your worth and as a 14-year-old kid, what do you know? But I got to a point that I was so tired and it was so hot in Florida. I'm just like, I don't want to do this for 10 bucks an hour. I was like, what do you want? Like, I want to get paid more. It's like, how much? Like 20 bucks. It's like, okay. What the
fuck? Wait, is that easy?
Yeah. So it was very, very eye-opening looking back on how my mom works, and she's such a hardworking woman, but still doesn't reap the benefits of somebody that works smarter. And it's not her fault. You know, she grew up in a different country. She barely, I mean, to this point, she knows English, but not very, you know, not as fluent as anybody else. So
she's still down in Florida.
Yeah, she's still down in Florida. And in all places, you don't need to really speak English in Florida. Right. Like you can just speak Spanish and you can get away with it. So it's a very, yeah, it made me realize that I don't want that path. I want the path of working smarter, not harder, but also work hard. So, yeah.
Do you have any, I guess we're kind of bouncing back from real estate back to comedy, but do you have any good stories of like crazy things that have happened to you on stage?
I've been heckled a lot. Doesn't really bother me. What bothers me is, which is just part of it, is bombing. I had a set one time that I did 10 minutes and it was just like absolute silence for 10 minutes. And like, if you're getting paid to do a show, you can't get off, you know, you have to do your time or else you don't get paid.
Right.
So it's just like sitting there and it's just like, I was early, I was new. It was like probably a year and a half in and I was doing just the most just raunchy jokes in O'Fallon out of all places, which is very, you know, Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. All that. And so, yeah, that sucks. But like crazy stories. I had somebody get hospitalized on a show one time that I was on. Like they just like passed out.
Like in the middle of your
set. Middle of the set. And then we had to turn on the lights and, you know, see what's up. Then there was a paramedic that came and he was like, oh, I'm fine. Like I'm fine. I'll just sit back down. Like it was a blood sugar thing, kind of. But it was also, he was also drinking. So it was kind of drunk. And then he's like, I'll just sit back down. And then he sat back down. And he's like, ah, oh, never mind. I'll just go home. Then as he walked away, I noticed that like he shit himself. So it was like, go home.
Yeah, go home, buddy. Yeah, go clean yourself up.
Yeah, and it was just tough because it's, you have to just, all right, let's get back to it.
Let's get back to the show, turn the lights off, and give me the mic. Yeah. Here we go.
And sometimes I'll have people tell me that they want me to do comedy, and it's like a party and with music, and then they want me to do comedy. And I've taken the shows because I just want to get paid and I just want more exposure. But it's so bad to do shows when it's a party. But it's like, hey, everyone, you know, you guys are having a good time with all this music and fun talk. Well, now be quiet and listen to me talk for 10 minutes. And then it's just like, oh, hey, guys.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, yeah, it's bad. I've done some pretty bad shows that it's just like, you thought they were going to be good, but it was just a really, really bad opportunity.
I feel like comedy, I mean, I've heard a lot of stand-ups say this, but like anytime you're doing comedy at a place where you're not supposed to do comedy, you know, it's not a comedy club, it's not a venue, it's not something like that, it's not set up for this.
Oh my God.
You're outside or whatever it is, you know?
If one more person asks me, oh, you do comedy, why don't you do a set for us? I was like, no, I don't want to. I'll tell you a joke right now, but like, I'm not going to stop everyone from having a good time so I could do comedy in front of people that don't want to listen.
Yeah, like, so PSA for everybody. Yeah. If you're hosting a party, don't have a comic.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I've heard bachelor parties or corporate gigs and it's like all these things. I remember like listening to Shane Gillis say like one time he was at like a dinner and they were like, you know, they're all sitting around the table and he's like, all right, Shane,
I've done that.
Stand up, do your thing, you know, and just like make you stand up in the middle of the restaurant, like in front of the table. Like
I did that for Deal Machine.
Oh.
Yeah, I did that for Deal Machine. David Lecko is a good friend of mine, and Deal Machine was the main source of income. Like we got so many deals through Deal Machine, and so he was like, "Can you do some promo with us?" And then he invited me to his mastermind, and then he's like, "Hey, can you do some time for us?" And it was at a dinner, but it was at a restaurant. But at least it was completely like shut down for this mastermind, and everyone was pretty lit. So I was like, "Okay, it was fun."
Sure.
But like, that could have easily gone bad. And then I just have to shuffle my way back to the table and be like,
"Woo,
all right, guys.
Glad it didn't bomb. This is awkward.
No, seriously. Yeah. That's
going through your questionnaire. It's just, you know, looking at some of the stuff. So it's just, how did you get so darn handsome?
Dude, I'm so glad you asked, man. It's vitamins is a good portion. Wearing a hat, covering half your face really helps. And the other half by a beard. So, you have to deceive.
I'm already doing both of those things. Right, so yeah. I thought you were going to tell me something I didn't know.
No, yeah, that's as good as that's going to get.
Cover my bald spot. And
Well,
we got them on backwards. We need to turn them around to look a little better.
Yeah.
I was making a joke with my fiance and I was like, I need to work out. I was trying to make a content and I was like, I need to work out. It's like, why? It's like, you're working out so hard. And I'm like, I need to work out. It's like, why do you always need to work out? It's like, well, one, it's good for me. And two, like I'm balding. Like I need to look good from the eyebrows down. If the eyebrows up, they don't look good. So yeah. I appreciate you asking the questions. I appreciate you taking my questionnaire very serious.
Absolutely.
Because it is very serious matter.
Yeah, it was on there and a unique question. So I was like, we've got to ask it.
I was feeling myself when I was typing this. God damn, I look good. I used to do that every time I used to get a haircut.
Oh, yeah.
I would be like, damn. As soon as the guy was done, it's like, damn, you did this last time. You did it again. It's like, what, man? Maybe better looking, dude. That's crazy. I didn't know it was possible.
Well, that's the thing is like, because I just got mine done recently and I walk out and it looks really good.
Yeah.
And then you like, I can't recreate it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like how
one time thing.
Yeah. It's like,
and it's so funny how like you get a haircut and this looks good.
Yeah.
Hat back on.
Yeah. Like, it looks great.
Yep.
Well,
still bald.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was feeling it yesterday. We were doing some ad reads and my hair was so I had to some of these ad reads that we're doing. We're not using them. It's just kind of.
You got to start walking around.
Just
right?
Funny spoofs with it. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I almost got it looking like I did when I got out of the hair salon.
Yeah.
Not quite, but still I thought it was.
God, that's a good feeling, right?
It's a great feeling.
You just get a haircut. You start walking around, dude.
Hell yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm due for one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. God. Month or so. Dude, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I go once every 4 weeks.
Yeah, I just rock a hat.
I don't know why.
Once 95% every 95% of the time.
Same. I'm like, yeah. I don't even know why I pay for hair.
Dude, there was one episode a couple weeks ago. We like both looked at each other like, wait, we're both not wearing hats. You know?
Yeah.
And I just realized we're like all wearing like the same fucking color.
Oh yeah, dude. That's kind of crazy, yeah, huh?
The chances
of that. You got blue jeans on?
No, I got green pants on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, green shirts.
Like a forest green.
Yeah, we're like all wearing forest green.
Yeah. Yeah.
We definitely didn't coordinate.
No, we did not coordinate that.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if we did.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, if you don't mind.
Yeah, can you just wear a forest green?
Yeah. Forest green?
It kind of our thing.
It goes well with our plants.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Our nice fake plants.
Yeah.
That's awesome. This is an awesome studio, guys. This is really, really cool.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, this is still a new thing. I mean, you're really like the second guest we filmed in here.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
We've only been here a couple weeks. You know, and then last week we filmed in the cigar lounge out there because they were doing construction. Like, sounded like a machine going off on the other side of that wall.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they were jackhammering the floor.
Did it pick it up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, you
yeah.
can hear it.
Yeah, so
like,
we were like,
speak
oh, let's
easy.
Go over there.
Here we go. Which is awesome, which is a really cool setup itself. But, yeah, it's not something that we're going to make in every show thing.
Well, we are going to be recording in there tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be in there this weekend.
Yeah, we do these fight companion shows.
Well, you mentioned doing wrestling. Are you a UFC fan?
I'm a UFC fan. I'm not like diehard, like I won't know names, but
gotcha.
Like
enjoy watching it.
I'll watch it on like big fights. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go to a bar or meet up with some friends and pay for the pay per view. Yeah. But like, yeah, I used to wrestle in high school, and it's crazy what those guys do.
Oh,
it's just really cool to see. I would never like to see it in real life.
Oh, dude, it's the best. It's live.
Oh, dude, incredible. I can't see somebody just getting knocked out like that, dude.
When you're there in person. A different feeling. You know, it's kind of like it, you know, like seeing a comedy special and going to see live comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how much, you know, I think for people say it's like, oh, it's like 70% is funny, you know, when you see it on TV versus,
yeah, because you're distracted, you're doing this, that,
yeah,
and the other.
And then there's a part of like being in a crowd too, you know,
and
like,
it has to be a tight crowd. If you go to a comedy show, and this is for like anybody going to a comedy show, try to go to a comedy club as opposed to like Enterprise Stadium, mm-hmm, because it's not the same thing. Because everybody, like, if you get in a club and everything is just tight, you know, it's very vulnerable for people to laugh. People don't feel comfortable laughing. And so you want people to sit tight in a dark room where nobody can watch them laugh. And then if nobody can watch them laugh and then they see the person right next to them laughing, it's more likely that everyone's laughing. And if you get a room that's tight, dark, low ceilings, and it pops, man, that is the best scenario for a comedy club, comedy set, or anything like that, because yeah, it's so different than seeing it at a theater,
yeah,
or something like that, because it's just not the same.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen comedy in comedy clubs, theaters, and stadium, you know, and arenas, and I definitely think there's a little piece, or like what you said, being in a comedy club, there's like something special about that.
Mm-hmm.
You're just so close, and it's so intimate. You're like, you know, depending on where you get sat, you know, like if you're going to Helium or whatever, where they kind of sit you randomly,
yeah,
like you could be fucking right next to the stage. You
yeah.
know, and you're like, oh shit. You
exactly.
Know, right there. I hope he doesn't fuck with me.
Do you have a venue here in St. Louis that you like playing at more than another?
No, I think I like them both. Like, it's Funny Bone and Helium. Those are the two. I really like them both. My home club is Funny Bone because I spend the most time there. I work the door there. They book me more than there because the booker is active, like in, like he's at the club. And so if you're hanging out at the club, it's crazy because the Funny Bone is this Funny Bone in St. Louis, the Westport Funny Bone, is the only one that's not a part of the franchise.
Okay.
So like, it's very separated from everything else. So it's not like a corporate thing. With Helium, it's more corporate. So the booking is more, it's from afar. So they don't really see like a lot of the, of what's going on, in the sense of like as active as like the Funny Bone. They still book all the local comics, but it's for me, I guess it's been a little more, I wouldn't say challenging, a little more of an obstacle to get more booked there. And at Funny Bone, since I work the door there, it also helps me out quite a bit. And it's just, both are great. Both are really, really cool clubs. They're so different. They have so many different talent comes in.
I've never been to Helium. I've been to Funny Bone a bunch.
Yeah. Helium is fun.
Where's that at?
That's at that Galleria Mall. It's the,
yeah,
the Galleria Mall in the basement. And that has like, it's very dark, low ceilings. They get some really good acts,
yeah,
going there.
I was
going
to say, I feel like if I'm looking at people that come in town, I feel like most people see more bigger names going helium.
Because they have, they'll sign a contract with the franchise, so they'll hit a bunch of helium. So they have some really, really good talent that goes there. I would love to work there more. I would love to work there more.
Yeah.
A little bit, you said you live in Kirkwood. It's a little bit closer, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's so close. It's so close. No, I'm actually in Dogtown now. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I moved from Kirkwood to Dogtown.
How do you like that?
That's great.
Still, much closer.
Yeah, much closer. Yeah, I'm only 8 minutes away. How crazy. I love Dogtown. We moved from Kirkwood to Dogtown because like we didn't have kids. So it's like Kirkwood is great if you have kids, but since we don't have them, it's like we want to be closer to city stuff
and all the good restaurants.
Yeah, yeah. Stuff. So yeah. Dogtown's great.
So how long have you been here since 2020?
I want to say 2020, but I think it's probably 2021. July of 2021. Okay. I think that's when I moved here. We bought the house in 2020 and then started. We bought the house in 2020. And then she needed some time to move out. So then after she had the time to move out, then we fixed it up a little bit. Then we moved in 2021.
So what's the biggest difference between St. Louis and Florida? I'm sure there's a lot.
Brother. There's
weather.
There's
the one thing similar is the humidity.
Yeah. Humidity, weather, cost of living here is great. Listen, yes. I used to talk a lot of shit on St. Louis. Sure. I really did. But now I'm like starting to like it. I'm starting to like it because this is where I've built my wealth. This is where I've built stability. This is where I started a comedy. But South Florida, it's just a different beast. It's so beautiful. It's so fun. It's completely different world. Like you have the beach over there, and here. I don't know. You have emos.
We got the Mississippi River.
Yeah,
we do have the Lake of the Ozarks.
I had a joke when I first started out that moving from Florida to St. Louis is like, how was it? It's like I came from Fort Lauderdale to St. Louis, so I pretty much traded in fake tits for man tits. Yeah.
Hey now,
yeah, no, because the food here is freaking great. Yeah, food here is so good.
St. Louis is like a melting pot. Yeah, there's so many different little neighborhoods that are different ethnicities.
But nothing like South Florida. Because South Florida, you have all of South America, all of the Caribbean. So you have foods from all over the world. I always say South Florida is the capital of South America. Okay. Like everyone from South America and the Caribbean just go there. And that's one thing I do miss. I miss the culture. I miss the culture down there. Because you can go, like we were talking about Club Viva. I mean, anywhere you go, you can go dancing. You can do whatever you want. Comedy sucks there. Comedy sucks there so bad because there's so much to do and it's always good weather. So
everybody's out partying and on coke.
Exactly. Nobody wants to go sit down in a freaking comedy club when you have like the best clubs, the best looking people down walking around in Fort Lauderdale. That's why comedy's good in the Midwest, because it gets cold, it gets dark. It's like, let's go somewhere. Let's just get out.
That's going to make us happy because we're really depressed right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Yeah. St. Louis does have a lot of, seasonal depression.
For sure.
Yeah.
So you were wanted to promote something.
I wanted to promote a couple of things, both happening at the Funny Bone. Yeah. I will be featuring for Eddie Gosling on January 30th through February 3rd. Yeah. That's the weekend. He's coming into town. Very funny guy. He's the producer. He used to be the producer of Tosh.0, and he helps produce his podcast. Right now, and Tosh's podcast. Yeah, very funny guy, very nice guy. He's helped me out a lot. He took the time to talk to me when he was in town, and he gave me his number, and we texted. Like people like that in the comedy scene are really good. So the fact that he's allowing me to work with him and just giving me the opportunity, I think it's gonna be a really, really fun show. We're gonna have some good comics there, and also, I started back up the St. Louis Funniest Funny Bone competition. Helium has a St. Louis Funniest every year, and Funny Bone didn't have one for a couple of years, so we started that back up starting January 22nd till April. Every Wednesday, we're going to do the Funniest competition. So if you want to watch comedians compete to see who's the funniest person in St. Louis, we are be having shows every Wednesday starting January 22nd. You can get tickets online, and you can get free tickets if you use the promo code FUNNIEST. So if you're listening to this podcast, you get free tickets. Just write the code FUNNIEST in all caps. And you can come to any show competition. And they're really fun. We have a seasoned veteran start up top, do some 10 minutes. Then we'll have these local guys compete for the funniest. And three will move forward for every round until we have a champion.
How does a comedy? Like 4 minutes?
Everybody does 5 to 7 minutes.
Most laughs?
5 to 7 minutes. And then the first round is audience based. So everybody gets a poll. So if you're an audience member, you get to vote who wins. And then once we get everyone that has passed the first round, the second round, we get judges, professional comedians or professional entertainers or just local guys that have an influence in the entertainment business, vote for the funniest person. And audience laugh is one of the criteria that they use for voting. But it's, it's mostly judges that voted. And the winner gets... it's $20 to sign up for the competition. So if somebody wants to sign up, you don't have to be a comedian. Anybody can sign up. It's $20. And the winner gets the pot. First top three get the money that everybody has submitted. So it's a good way for comedians to try new stuff. It's a good way to promote the club. And it's just another thing that I can do to help the St. Louis comedy scene because, you know, getting shows started is very difficult, especially just with comedians not being very organized. So if I can help give back to the St. Louis comedy scene, I think it's really good.
And then you've got your own podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
If you want to promote that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sitting Down with Stand-Ups. It's going to be a comedy podcast talking to comedians and just talking about local comics, talking about comedy, talking about, some of the greats. And we're still trying to figure out what direction we're doing this, but I know it's just comics talking about comedy and just having a good time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be, I'm really, really excited about it. I've talked to a lot of comics. I'm gonna start talking to headliners that are coming in town. I'm reaching out to them, and when they start coming in town, like Eddie Gosling, we might be able to get him on the show. And I think it has a lot of room for growth, and it has some legs to run.
Well, I think the cool thing about that too, because you're talking about wanting to promote back, that is, now that we're all part of this Punchline production stuff, is mentioned before, guys coming in, they just kind of sit around, get them in and get them on all these different shows that we've got here.
Yeah.
And get their names out there.
It's a win-win because Punchline production grows, then they have an audience, and then maybe some comics that are really, really funny, maybe they don't have that good of an audience because they don't have the social media aspect to it, because that's a business within itself. Sure. They want to get promoted, and then it just feeds back and forth. And then they start growing, and then we start growing, and then it's just an ecosystem of growth within the content space.
Right. Well, it helps too that Corey's got that.
And yeah.
Is that how you met Corey? Is through comedy?
No, I came here because is it Julie? No, the owner of Adventure Unknown.
Oh, Joanna.
Joanna. Joanna.
Joanna.
What's her name?
Joanna.
Joanna. So Joanna met with Melanie, my fiance, about travel stuff because my fiance does the group trips, and then Adventure Unknown does so many group trips together. So they started talking together, and I came here to be like, hey, you know, you guys ever have like a showcase or like a meeting and you guys need a comedian? And
you're going to be here next weekend, right?
Well, yeah, I'll be here next weekend, January 25th, to do the comedy at Adventure Unknown. And
no kids that weekend. I'll be here.
I'll be here as well.
Good. So I came here to kind of just like weasel my way into like doing some comedy. And then Corey comes out and is like, hey, you do comedy, right? Like, yeah. It's like, I just saw you on Facebook as a friend recommendation yesterday. He's like, really? It's like, yeah. And then he telling me that I started doing comedy. It's like, we should get together. And then we did a comedy show together, and then we just started talking, and our visions aligned, and our mentality is very similar in the sense of like, just like allowing the universe to help us grow.
Go get her.
Go get her. And then we're here. So awesome. Yeah, I met him out of straight coincidence. That's it awesome. Was just timing. And again, the universe provides if you're focused on what you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're a part of it. Glad we got to sit down and chat with you and all that stuff. So, but we like to leave it with one last question.
Okay.
Hit you with a surprise. It's called the Tombstone Game.
Okay.
All right. Here lies Enzo. What's it say on your tombstone?
Here lies Enzo. What does it say on my tombstone? He He really put a smile on our face. Wait, that's not what I want. Extremely handsome. No, not extremely handsome. He made the people around him feel better. And that's what I want. That's I really perfect. Want to just make the people around me feel better. And if I can have that in my tombstone, and if everybody felt better or became better because of me, that's a very fulfilled life. For? Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Awesome, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Please click that subscribe button if you haven't already. That helps us out a ton. Click that like button, comment what you thought below, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.